strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 10th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Kirsten. How you doing, Kirsten?
You know, we were talking before about daylight savings, so it would be better if that wasn't happening. But I'm good. I'm excited that it's Big Brother Canada. It's, you know, my country is here to represent, and there's not that much Canadian representation on RHAP, so I'm really glad to be here to truly really be the voice of Canadians.
I don't know. We've had, four updates now so far, and half of them have been Canadians.
Yeah, but because there's two Canadians, and it just happened to fall that way.
Or maybe it was intentional.
I think it might just be what days were available, but okay.
Yeah, I'm really mad at daylight savings. I'm very tired right now.
Your voice has been to life, though. You sounded a little dead at first, but now you're good.
Yeah, I want to like curse the heavens at like daylight savings. I'm like, I'm so tired and mad. I just want everyone to write to your congressman and tell them to get rid of daylight savings.
Okay, but no, we can't. It has to be Canada and America, because if we have to change and you guys don't, then it's just going to be really confusing, and I just can't handle that. We need to just be on the same page, please.
This is the one political issue to unite us all.
It should be, honestly. Anyone who likes daylight savings time just needs to think critically about it.
They're dead to me in this life.
God. Okay. I found someone who hates it as much as I do. I love this. This is perfect.
All right. Let's talk about the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds and everything that happened yesterday on them. Man, it's a struggle to even talk. I'm so, tired.
You know what? We're going to get through this together. And if this update is not our best update ever, well, we've got more Sundays and we can blame daylight savings time. So we'll be fine. We've got this.
All right. Well, we started the day yesterday with Anthony, Adam, and Dane talking. Anthony let Adam know about his talk with Kaylin the night before and how she was trying to put a target on Adam. She's basically coming for Adam. Adam is not happy to hear that. He really wants her to go. But Dane is continuing to be like, well, you know, there is Sam. Have we talked about Sam? I feel like Sam is probably somebody that we should maybe have leave soon. And also, you know, Corey is the target before Kaylin, just so you. Corey is still the main target. We have to get Corey out because that was the plan. And also, she's clearly a, you know, Olympian military person twist who wears two shirts and is super dangerous. So we definitely need to get her out.
Yeah, Dana's all about this 3-week plan, which is like, he's acting like this plan has been in place forever, but like, Corey just got there. So obviously there was like a different plan. And then now this is the new plan. Like plans change. Dane also does this thing where he thinks talking more is going to fix everything every single time. And honestly, like I'm coming into this tentatively standing Dane until he does something bad because I do know one of his close personal friends. So I'm here for Dane, so I might not be like the most unbiased source because I know people in his life and they're great people. But yeah, he needs to stop talking. I'm doing it right now, so I'm going to stop now.
he's very focused on Corey. It's the day 5 plan. I believe it is day 8. So, you know, real. It's, you know, it's old timey stuff, this thing, this plan that's been in place for a long time.
Yeah, this plan is cemented. It is happening. And it is very reminiscent of last year when they were like, we've got the 6-week plan. These people are going. And well, we saw how that worked out, didn't we?
It worked out so well.
Exactly according to the plan, right?
Yeah exactly. I mean, really, if we think about it, the plan lasted all the way until the end of the game when Paris won. That was the plan all along.
Yes, of course.
Also, we had Kira and Chelsea talking. They had a few different conversations during the day. Kira is going to be focusing a lot on Kaylin and how, I mean, the guys were just talking about Kaylin and how dangerous she was and how they want her gone, except for maybe Dane. And now Kira is going to be focusing on this, talking to Chelsea, saying that they think Kaylin is the reason that that they're on the block, and, you know, that spread information about them and all kinds of stuff like that. So Chelsea is going to agree. Yeah, Kaylin, she's a tricky one.
Yeah. And so they discuss that Kaylin is very smart and she sees people as a threat as soon as they don't buy into her manipulation, which, like, if someone doesn't buy into your manipulation, they're a threat. It makes sense. But I just feel like with Kaylin, because she lied so obviously about her age right away, it's hard to trust anything she says, right? Because you don't know what else she's lying about. It's one of those things where when it's that obvious, you just can't do it, because now everything you say is suspect, right? And Kira really wants to take Kaylin down, like get rid of her, because they think that Kaylin is the reason why they are up.
It is funny thinking about it that Kaylin and Eddie bonded after being the two people who, like, got outed the most for lying directly in the secret reveal.
I mean, was Eddie outed the most? I feel like Eddie's wasn't that bad. Like, most people don't really know what cryptocurrency is.
I don't think it was a bad secret. Like, I don't think it was, like, the worst secret. But in terms of, I just told you guys something and turns out it was a lie, they were the two that got outed in that regard. So it's funny that they both seem to be a kind of pair here for now, at least.
Okay, fair, fine.
Yeah. We're going to get the veto draw. They will talk, as we said yesterday, Kaylin and Eddie, about next week and how they want to target Adam. But Kaylin is really stuck on this idea of this plan that Corey is supposed to go up on the block. So they might need to throw Corey on the block. That would give her a chance to compete in the veto, and it would please the house, which is weird. And Eddie's like, I don't know about that idea.
Yeah, it's kind of like Kaylin is going into it with kind of what Ryan did last year of putting up people they're working with to, you know, appease the house, thinking that they can, you know, get one over on them and get another plan. And that obviously doesn't work out. And Eddie is coming from it with the perspective of, no, like, if we're working with her, we should not risk her going on the block. We should put up people we're okay with going. So it's giving me more reason to stan Eddie. And Kaylin, what are you doing, girl? Come on.
Yeah, there's a marked difference between Kaylin talking to Mackie and Kaylin talking to Eddie. Because when Kaylin talks to Mackie, he, like, eats up every word she says. He's like, you're my mentor. You're so smart. We definitely should put Corey on the block. And Eddie's, like, just talking straight truth and is, like, way smarter.
Yeah, I love Eddie. And honestly, it took me a couple of days, but I do really like what Mackie's doing as well, because he is just doing what comes naturally to him, being, like, very social, very fun. And he gives off this air that he's listening and you're teaching him and he's so thankful. And I think it's going to take him really far.
Yeah, I just read a tweet about Sam and Adam.
Are you going to be okay?
Just look, I read that Adam finally puts his hands behind his back and they both agreed they really needed sex to release the high tension. Now I've shared it all with you. Misery loves company.
I feel attacked and I'm leaving now. Goodbye. How dare you?
Oh, man. All right. Well, so they're going to choose players for the veto. And we have a new twist to the veto competition, veto draw. I don't know if this is a one-off or if this is going to be the case for the rest of the season, but Dane is not competing in the veto as the HOH. It's just going to be five competitors, I believe, and Dane is not going to be one of them.
Yeah, and okay, I feel like I'm seeing a lot of negativity about this twist, but on the spectrum of twists, I actually don't hate this. I feel like a lot of HOHs ruin their game by winning HOH and veto and coming off too threatening, so it kind of insulates them from that. And I think it will give more interesting post-veto play, so I don't know. I think I actually don't hate it. I think it's going to be interesting to watch, and it could have been so much worse. Like, there's so many other things they could do with the veto. Like, this isn't that bad.
No, I'm actually with you. I think that, you know, this is something I can't exactly foresee the consequences of this, and I'm sure that we will eventually discover them. This might take too much power away from the HOH, and it might unbalance the game too much. But for right now, I think it's a small enough change that it'll be interesting to see the effects that it causes. And so I'm actually for this twist. I like it. I think it'll be interesting to watch, and then hopefully, obviously, the danger here is that if it does lead to bad things, it means they'll probably keep it. And if it's good, they'll probably trash it.
That's a good point. I'm going to need someone to send me the video clip of Taryn saying, "I'm for this twist. I like it." These are words I never thought I would hear. So we're going to need that.
It happens more often than you'd think. I like changes in the game that are balanced and well thought out. It's the problem is that very few twists are balanced and well thought out.
Well, I feel like this one so far seems okay, and I know a lot of people are coming out like very strongly against it, and really my only criticism is that they didn't find out before nominations.
Yeah, that's true. If he knew ahead of time, that would be better. But I do think it'll be interesting. I think that probably what they're going for is it takes one player out of the competition, which means you go from a 1 in 6 chance of winning veto to 1 in 5, which gives the nominees a much higher chance of winning themselves and taking themselves off the block, which is obviously what production seems to want in this case. And it also takes one person out of the pool who is likely to keep the nominations the same. Because the HOH made the nominations, they're usually the people that are going to want to keep them the same. Or even if they don't want to keep them the same, it's usually part of a big backdoor plan, which sometimes is fun, but also sometimes is not fun. So I think that for the most part, they're thinking, why do we even have the HOH playing at all? If the HOH wins, the audience is usually not happy, so why not just take them out of the pool? Let's face it, that's probably not the reason. That's too logical. But that's the end result, so I'm okay with it.
I was going to say, you think they want people to be happy?
Yeah, I realized my mistake the second I said that.
Sounds fake, but okay.
And I'm realizing now that if we are too positive about this, then they're going to be like, oh man, we made a mistake.
Oh no! Okay,
we need to pretend we hate it, and then they'll bring it back every time.
All twists are evil. Go back to pure Big Brother. Why even have a veto?
Yeah. Anyway, Kira, Mackie, Adam, Chelsea, and Anthony are going to be competing in the HOH. And
veto.
The veto.
In the veto.
Who's competing in the daylight savings time?
I'm losing that competition right now, but I think I might be doing at least better than you, so I probably won't come in last place.
Mackie asks Anthony if he will use the veto on him if he wins, and Anthony's like, well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stability in the house, and, you know, chaos might happen if things happen, and so I'm not, you know, gonna necessarily talk about that in particular right now. He really dodges the question. Anthony is going to not win this competition at all. He's not going to be trying.
Yeah, he was like, I'm not winning the veto in another conversation after. Mm-hmm. And he basically is like, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Like, Mackie, like, you're safe either way.
Yeah. Adam is going to talk with Chelsea and Sam about Kaylin and how she is a threat to them. This is Kaylin business is really coming to a head here. Adam, Chelsea and Sam really sort of solidify. They are going after Kaylin. They'd love to see her leave this week, but Dane probably won't do it for them. So she is going to be their target moving forward. Chelsea also is going to tell Sam that she does not want to win the veto. That means of five players, two of them are not going to be trying, which means the only people trying in this veto competition are Kira, Mackie, and Adam, which means a 2 out of 3 chance that one of the nominees wins the veto here.
Yes, and we definitely get lucky with things like that in this world. So
obviously,
it's a great chance. Yeah, and they also go and talk to Dane about like what would happen if Kira wins the veto. Mm-hmm. And Dane is like, yeah, we'll deal with it when it happens. He's being super cagey. He doesn't want to give names or plans. He's like, no, it's a 3-week plan, the 3-week plan. And it's just makes him look so sketchy. And like, Dane, you can't even play in the veto. Your power is basically over. You need to start, you know, reintegrating a little bit more and not act like you have all of this authority and secret plans.
Yeah, Dane, I guess, feels like he's being sufficiently vague about this answer, like he's dodging the question well enough. But if somebody asks you if Kira wins the veto, who is the target, what happens? And you go, I don't know. Maybe, well, you know, we'll deal with it when it comes. You know, I don't know necessarily have a set plan yet. Like they are immediately going to think, well, it's us. Like, because why wouldn't you tell them? Why wouldn't you tell them? You obviously have a plan. Mm-hmm. Nobody is that dumb. They come away from this conversation thinking we're going on the block if the veto is used. So they've completely figured it out. But that makes them paranoid.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you do sketchy things that then make someone concerned. And then you're like, oh, that person is so paranoid. We need to target them. And it's just like, it just is just a cycle. It keeps happening. And like Dane needs to have, you know, a canned answer for what he's going to say to people. Because when you're talking to someone, if they're not giving you a clear answer, that is huge cause for concern. Like, so it's one of those things where even if you don't like their plan, you have to be like, oh, yeah, cool, that's fine, because you want to be on the same page with them. But if they're not giving you a plan at all, then you're like, well, like, I guess if you're not with me, I'm against you by default. And it just is causing more conflict. It's very entertaining, though.
It's a serious lack of foresight, because it's not like Dane is incapable of coming up with an alternative thing. He is later going to realize, oh, I should have come up with a fake alternate plan, which is, oh, Damien. Damien's the person I would have put up. But in this moment, it's clear just he never considered the possibility that Sam might ask him what the plan is. And so he's completely caught off guard.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like he never considered the possibility. And so then when it comes up, he's just kind of a deer in headlights. And it takes him a little while to come up with that plan. I don't know how much Big Brother Dane has watched in the past. Like, I'm sure he's watched the show.
He says he's a big fan, that he's watched like all the seasons.
Yeah, like I'm sure he's watched all the seasons, but I'm equally sure he's never kept up with feed. So it's also one of those things where people get in and they don't realize there's going to be so much downtime and so much conversation. And so he doesn't know to make those kinds of plans. But I think he'll adapt pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. So then we're going to have Chelsea and Sam talk about, again, like they feel like they are going on the block. If the veto is used, that's not good. They also talk about how they would like to keep Kira. They feel like Kira is on their side more so than Mackie. And they might be like a bit of a wild card, but they're their wild card. So they feel decently good about Kira here.
Yeah. They're with them, so it's not the worst to keep them. And they're also, again, just so worried about Kaylin because she could convince people to send them home. And it's one of those things where people are so worried about Kaylin's persuasive powers, but like everyone is equally worried about them and nobody's really being persuaded. So Kaylin's ultimately like fairly harmless, but people are very targeting her.
Well, I think it's one of those things where people are concerned about Kaylin's manipulative powers with the whole house. But really what they're talking about is that she has control over Dane. Like, she has pull with Dane, and that, and because she has pull with Dane, who now has the power, they feel like she is controlling a lot. But really, it's just that they are not able to get Dane away from her, and they feel very frustrated about that. So, you know, I think that's where it's coming from. But it's one of those things where it's like, the second you realize what somebody is doing, it's no longer as effective, and they're no longer as much of a threat as you think they are, in the same way that the paranoia is this endless cycle. Oh, they're so manipulative and we know it, is also this cycle of, you know, nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. The minute you know it, it's not dangerous anymore. Like, I feel like Kaylin's manipulation and all that is kind of neutered at this point, but maybe she'll turn it around. I don't know.
Which is why, like, all of this stuff about, like, oh, this person's manipulative, this person's paranoid, it's all meaningless. Like, it doesn't matter. What matters in the house is who is coming after who, and who is amenable to a relationship with you, where you might change the fact that they're coming after you, and you might be able to influence who they're coming after. But instead, it's all about, like, these personality traits that just don't mean anything.
Well, yeah, and it's also, people don't want to directly talk about those things, because then that also makes them more of a threat, right? So they talk in circles about things like, this person is so paranoid, this person is so manipulative, because those are kind of shields that they can use in front of, oh, but actually, like, Kaylin is coming after us, and that's why we're worried. But it's almost like you don't want to verbalize that, because the minute you talk about someone being after you, or someone as, like, a legitimate threat in a game way, it makes it real, right? So I feel like that's kind of why people do it, but
yeah, as an RHAP listener, if you go into the house, you know, this, you're going to see through if anybody ever talks about people being paranoid or manipulative, you know that there's a hidden agenda behind that. You're not going to be swayed by those arguments in particular. You're going to look through and you'll be like, why are they saying this? What is the real motivation behind this? And then daylight saving times is going to happen. You're going to
honestly, if any RHAP listeners are going into the house, yes, you have to read between the lines. And how are you going to prepare for that? Start reading mystery novels now and think, why are they showing me that about every single little thing? It actually makes you so much more perceptive in the real world. And I highly recommend that.
There you go.
There you go. There's my advice.
I recommend fantasy novels because, well, I like them.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Read fantasy novels too. I will not be doing that, but cool. If you want to listen to Taryn instead of me, you can do that.
What's next?
What is going on with you?
Kira. So
Kira?
Where? Kira and Kaylin.
Oh, yeah.
They have a little tiff here. A little fight.
My notes are not in the same order as your notes. Can you please get it started so I can find this fight in my notes?
Well, Kira kind of confronts Kaylin about the fact that she is trying to manipulate the situation to get Kira on the block. They feel like Kaylin is sort of the person that twisted their words and made it seem like they were doing sketchy things, but really Kaylin is the one that was doing sketchy things, and Kaylin takes offense to this and feels like Kira is the one that's twisting words, and there's a reason that Kira's on the block and not Kaylin. And it's the first real fight I think we've seen. It's not even a real, it's a very small little thing, but it's the first bit, like, tiny bit of drama we've seen on the feeds thus far.
Yeah, so I didn't write anything down about this because it didn't matter at all. And it's basically just like, you're twisting my words. No, you're twisting my words. And it ultimately doesn't really amount to that much, except for afterwards when Kira is talking about it with Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay. Yes. they do talk with Chelsea about this. And again, just talk about Kaylin. She's dangerous. Chelsea's like, yeah, I agree. This further solidifies Chelsea's idea that Kira is going to be on her side. So this I think this is good for Kira in general, because it helps. In fact, this should have been bigger and more visible, because if everyone sees that Kira is just anti Kaylin and very focused on Kaylin, then that really helps put people at ease in terms of where Kira lies in the game versus somebody like Mackie, who is aligned with Kaylin and they don't really know where he stands or who he's targeting. So that's something that she should maybe
Kira should continue to be clearly targeting Kaylin, because when people know you have a target, they know what you're going to do, and being kind of a wild card is not great, and being someone with a clear plan is great. And it's also really good because everyone is talking about how sketched out they are by Kaylin. So when you have someone who is visibly targeting Kaylin, it kind of puts them in a good spot. And Kira also says that they are going to expose things that Kaylin has said if someone else wins the veto to try and save themselves, which I do love. I feel like Kira really woke up yesterday, which is nice after on Friday when they were a little bit more like down and out. So.
Yes, and Kaylin should be, I think, worried about this, the fact that she is being called out and that she is being targeted from all sides, and she doesn't really see it yet. So that's something that Kaylin really seems to be one of the bigger targets in the house at the moment. Kaylin, it's coming down to the sort of Kaylin versus Sam and Adam. Sam Adams.
Yeah, I know, it's too much. The other thing too is like Kaylin obviously needs to open her third eye and get an eye, figure out what's going on in this house. And I did love at one point yesterday, Kaylin said she was going to use her psychic abilities to cheat in the next head of household, which is like my favorite thing. I'm honestly like, there isn't really anybody that I want to go home except for like Sam Adams, because of their gross conversations that I don't need to hear.
Kaylin is also like, she has a lot of weird opinions about things. like Chelsea is flirting too much and she's going to lose her boyfriend because she's flirting so much with Anthony that she's obsessed with Anthony, which is like, when?
So I have not seen that footage. I guess it could have happened when production loved us, but the house guests needed space. I don't know. It's very odd. And she does seem to be particularly negative towards the women in the house, which doesn't really sit well with me. But like, I don't know what she's doing. I think she thought she could come in and manipulate everybody, and that it would be so easy because she's like a perceptive, empathetic person to kind of get in people's heads. And then when she's not gaining the traction that she thought she would, I think she's having a really tough time with that and kind of just throwing anything at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah, it seems like right now this sort of Kaylin, Sam, I really, because it seems like Adam might be able to survive because he has the support of the Pretty Boys. So it seems like Sam would probably be the one to leave. It seems like both Kaylin and Sam are kind of in this spiral toward a downfall in the near future.
Can we not call them the Pretty Boys? Like, is there anything else that we can call this alliance? Because I hate it so much. And I don't remember if you talked about this yesterday, but there was one point where they were all talking and they were like, we're too pretty for this. And I just hate it so much. And I think we need to come up with a new name for that. I hate it so much. Like, we're too pretty to put up with their alliance, okay?
Too anyway, pretty.
It's too much. Oh.
There's a song, I can't remember the band though. Talk about being too pretty, Adam. Adam and Dane have a conversation. Dane lets Adam know that he's, again, focusing a lot on Sam. He feels like Sam is being paranoid and he doesn't want Sam to impact Adam's game. Adam, who is all about the bros, actually kind of takes this and runs with it. He kind of feels like, oh, well, is Sam damaging my game? He's this weird combination of like obsessed with Sam and super jealous when she interacts with other guys, but at the same time, it's, you know, game before girls. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very, very bizarre.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Adam really wants Dane's feedback. Like, is she going to hurt my game? And Dane's like, I know that you are loyal to the boys, but I'm worried that Sam is going to trigger something in you and then you're going to, you know, turn on us or it will affect your game. And Adam kind of pivots to, well, you know, I think Kaylin will come after us if, or Mark, if Sam is gone. So like, maybe we shouldn't get rid of Sam and keep that as, you know, a big fight going on in the house. And Dane's like, okay, we'll keep the nominations the same then. And then brings up once more that Sam is so paranoid and that she will have to go soon.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. I know that the Pretty Boys are often abbreviated to the PBs. And Nikki just said Peanut Boys, which is very close to, because when I see PB, I just think peanut butter. So maybe we can just call them the Peanut Butters. I'd be okay with that.
Because I used to go by PB because someone called me a poisonous bitch. And so then I was like, yeah, PB out. So then that's all I can think of when I see PB.
Oh, man, you're trapped here.
It's like, it's too much. But you know what? We can go, PB's better. And then
I don't really want to have to say PB all the time. It's not.
We could just, honestly, we could just call them the Mr. Peanut Butter Alliance.
Yes, they are a little bit, they are a little Mr. Peanut Buttery.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I'm calling them until the end of time now, the Mr. Peanut Butter Alliance.
So Adam talks with Chelsea and he lets Chelsea know about his conversation, not his conversation with Dane, but the takeaways he had with his conversation with Dane, where he feels like Sam is really paranoid and he's concerned that she is going to get infect them with her paranoia and they need to take it down a notch. Chelsea is like, I'm not being paranoid. I'm being rational. And Adam's like, you are not in danger. You will not go on the block no matter what, I promise you. And Chelsea's like, all right.
Yeah. Okay. She's like, my connection to Kira makes it make a lot of sense for me to go up if Kira wins the veto. And then of course they end this conversation really by shifting to talk about Kaylin as a big threat, because every conversation seems to end with, okay, but you know who's really a threat? Kaylin's a threat.
Kaylin, we need to go after Kaylin. Anyway, on the other side of the house, not the other side, but on another side of the house.
In another location within the house.
Steph and Kiki are talking. They have been informed about this anti-Kaylin sentiment in the house. They like it. They were like, hey, if Adam and Sam want to win and target Kaylin, great. It's not us.
Yeah, exactly.
And Steph talks about how she does not trust Mark. This, you know, rift between Steph and Kiki and Mark is widening. He is not doing enough work with them. They've talked the day before about how they felt like Mark was playing both sides, but that they could maybe use him. It seems like they're a little bit, they're getting further and further removed from Mark in terms of their relationship with him. And they are feeling closer to Dane at the moment. And really the only reason they're still working with Mark is because they know Dane trusts him. So Mark is doing something wrong. I'm not entirely sure what, but it's definitely something.
Sometimes I see Mark and I'm like, who is that? Like, I don't know. I haven't like placed him in the game or in my head yet. And sometimes I'm like, who is that person? Or somebody like, oh yeah, Mark did this. And I'm like, who's Mark? Like, I don't know. He's just like a lost boy to me right now. And Kiki says that, you know, Dane and Mark are pushing really hard for one of them to win HOH and target Corey next week. They're worried that there's a hidden agenda there, that it will make them more of a threat. So then, you know, they would get put up the following week. There's just a lot of, you know, mistrust. And I think it's tough in the early game, right? No one knows who they can trust. It's all, and this house seems particularly fluid right now. So I was very nervous for them.
Yes. Damien is also going to have a conversation with Kiki about their strategy moving forward. They talk about how they would love for Sam to leave this week if this backdoor plan ends up happening. And then Damien suggests then they would do Kira next week. And Kiki's like, actually, I feel like it would be good if we kept Kira around, which tells me that she could be amenable to the idea of keeping Kira over Mackie, potentially, if it comes down to it. There's going to be some campaigning, I think, for the rest of the week in that regard. And I think that Kiki and Steph are going to be key votes here.
Yes, I think that there is going to be a lot of change in the votes this week, too. I don't think anyone is really locked in. And I think that small arguments can make big changes this week. And it's entirely possible that when feeds go down on Thursday, we won't know who's going home. I think it's possible at this point. And I hope so, because that's always fun.
Yeah. yeah, you never know. Then we have Kaylin and Eddie talking again about Kaylin really hung up on this idea of putting Corey on the block, and Eddie again saying that's a bad idea. And then she talks with Mackie, and Mackie's like, that's a great idea.
Yeah, Mackie's like, oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I never would have thought of that. Like, I'm really learning. Like, he takes everything in and he acts like it's the smartest thing he's ever heard. And as a result, I feel like he gets so much more information out of the people that he's talking to, because, you know, they feel validated in what they're saying. They feel like they have a good plan, and, you know, they feel like Mackie's really on their side. Now, if Mackie knows what to do with that information, that's a whole other question that we'll have to, you know, see what happens this week. But I wonder if how much he's doing on purpose and how much is just his, you know, innate social skills working for him.
I very much doubt anything he's doing is on purpose.
I know, but I just, like, I want to believe it's on purpose, because I want to believe that he's actually this, like, really good gamer that we just, like, didn't see coming. That's always what I'm hoping for. Yeah. Because, like, this season, they've got fans of Big Brother, but it's not on the same level as last year when it was, like, very, very fan heavy. So I'm just, like, sitting here being like, I want someone to be diabolical.
And yeah. Nobody's really emerged quite yet as a front runner or like big strategist. I think there are people who have potential, nobody really doing any major moves, and that's probably for the best in terms of nobody really should be doing any major moves.
It's too early. If anyone was sitting here making major moves, then it would be like a very Devin bro situation and not actually like good strategy. I'm betting on Eddie, though. I think Eddie has the most potential.
I think he has a lot of potential. I think he's one of the despite the fact that you never really want to agree when somebody says I'm the smartest person, I do think he's probably one of the smarter people in the house. The problem is he doesn't have as many connections in terms of like personal relationships. He has grown on people. People are starting to like him, but more like in the way that you like a little brother that's adorable than like a respected partner in the game that you will be influenced by, which is kind of what he's going for. But at the same time, it does not put him in a position to make a lot of power moves right now, at least. So it'll be interesting.
Have to make power moves right now. Right. So yes. I think he's in a very good spot. I think he's purposefully put himself in this position, which I always love to see. And now it just goes, like, we just have to watch and see if he's able to, you know, turn it around and really like switch into gear in the later half of the game.
Yes. So his association with Kaylin could be very dangerous for him, because Kaylin is becoming such a big target and he is one of her closest allies right now. So if she is targeted as early as next week, he could be in trouble as somebody that goes up next to her. And I think it's very important for him that Mackie stays in the game, because Mackie would be, I think, the person that went up next to Kaylin if somebody would targeted Kaylin right now. But if Mackie was gone, I think that Eddie might be in trouble in terms of being put up on the block next to Kaylin. So very important for Eddie, I think, that Mackie stays.
Yes. And even if Mackie goes, if Eddie is up against her and stays, that's a great, losing an alliance member early and then kind of being a lone ranger is not a bad thing. It would just suck to see him go up on the block.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we then have the veto competition and the feeds come back and Adam has won The power of veto. There were three people that were trying to win. Two of them were nominees. One of them was Adam, and Adam is going to win this veto. Apparently, it was kind of close between him and Mackie, and we are going to have Anthony let Adam know that I don't know if it was during the competition or shortly after, but Mackie was talking about how Adam is a beast and he needs to go. And so Adam is like, whoa, not only did Mackie just almost beat me in this competition, but he's targeting me. Mackie needs to go. Mackie needs to leave the house, because if he stays and wins HOH, he's coming for me. And he seems like he could win HOH. So Adam is very anti-Mackie right now. And Anthony's like, oh, crap, what did I just do? Chill, dude. Clear jets. Mackie needs to leave next week, not this week. Kira still needs to leave this week.
Exactly. Like Kira, who was not close to winning the competition from all accounts, is definitely a bigger threat and who we need to get rid of now. And I also like Adam winning veto. He was HOH last week. He had veto this week. I think we're going to see a lot of power going to Adam's head very soon. And I think it's going to be very entertaining.
He's won every competition he's played in thus far. So people were thinking in terms of like, hey, you know, is Adam the competition beast that we thought he was? Let's find out in this veto. Oh, and he won. I think that he is overestimating his own abilities and other people are overestimating his abilities. He won the HOH competition, which was kind of suited to him. And then he won a veto competition where he was one of three people who were trying, which is very different than even a normal veto competition where six people are usually trying. So,
Well, people really like to call someone a comp beast immediately. Like, it's such a thing where it's like, comp beast. Oh, my God. Okay, it's two competitions. Everybody relax. We have no indication that he's going to be good at every type of competition. And it seems like this veto was also quite physical. So, you know, he's very fit. He's going to do well in the, like, super physical competitions. But there are other fit guys in the house, and they weren't in the veto really, or weren't trying to win the veto. Because last year, week two was when they had the Tomb Raider veto, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because that was when feeds went down for 3 days. So I was like very worried about if the feeds would go down for 3 days again. I had like a little PTSD moment there. So I feel like often this veto is like a super physical one, and then we'll see where it goes from here.
Yes.
There's also Dane, of course, reassuring Sam, you were never going up. You were never the target. Damien would have been the target. And it's just so sus that he never said this before.
Yeah. Sam is like, I was, you know, feeling some weird things. And Dane is like, oh, no, never. It would never have been you. It was Damien. Yeah. Damien was the plan. I came up with the idea to say that it was Damien after you asked me the first time. And now I have the thing that I need to say to you, which is that it was Damien. And, so don't worry about it. And then he then runs to Damien. He's like, hey, Damien, I just told Sam that you were the person that would have gone up. But don't worry. That really would have been Sam. Don't worry about it.
He really just needs to over explain to everybody all of the time. And it's a lot. I don't hate it. I also like how Sam's like, okay, but like no one was looking me in the eye. Like it really seems like I would have gone up. And he's like, no, never. This would have never happened.
Okay. For somebody who is making as many mistakes as Dane is, he is still very well insulated in terms of his positioning in the game, probably more so than almost anyone else in the house, because he's still protected by the Sam Adam side of things, despite the fact that he just very clearly blatantly went after them. He's still in with Kaylin to a very large degree. He is in with Steph and Kiki a lot. So he's in a really great spot, but I just don't have faith that he's not going to blow it up eventually, because he seems like he's trying to.
Yeah, I think what he's really got going for him is Dana's very likable. He's got that like cool hockey player vibe. Some people really love hockey players, so that's a thing. I don't know. I just hate when people pop their teeth out. So
yeah,
it would make me uncomfortable. That's literally, I was like, that's me.
Yeah.
If we want to speak on that, it's not a thing that people walk around with no teeth that often, because normally you have a retainer to put in and you'd only be toothless for like I know a couple of weeks till the retainer gets made. But a lot of people who have those kind of like front, like bridge retainers, like to pop them out for fun. Like you'll be in line for a club and then like you start talking to the guy in line and they're like, look at this. And I'm like, oh no, please stop talking to me forever. Yeah. So that's, I would say that's more so a thing. You'll only really see people walking around without one if they still need to get the retainer made. I don't know.
Yeah.
But dental's not part of the healthcare system. So that is also part of it.
Tricky. Yeah. So we are also going to have Steph talking to Dane, and Steph says, Steph, risky business here. She trusts Dane a little too much, I think, lets him know that she thinks Adam needs to go. He's too good at these competitions. They're not fair. It's not fair that Adam is competing. It's, I want to make these competitions fair, and it's not fair when Adam competes.
Okay. So it's really easy to, you know, look down on this and be like, well, life's not fair. Wake up. But I feel like this is actually a really good way to put that when you're talking to other people, where it's not like Adam is such a threat, I'm so scared of him. It's just, you know, wouldn't it be great if we all had a chance? It would be great if this was more equitable. And I think that that is a very good way to frame that, although maybe not too Dane right now.
So she talks about how, you know, they may need to take their shot during a double eviction. I think that the way that she puts this, Dane is able to actually agree. I think that Dane really does have a lot of loyalty to Steph and Kiki. And so, he agrees with the plan, which obviously he would. But I think he actually does kind of agree with it. I think that he's thinking, well, if you're thinking about taking a shot during a double, that's going to be kind of far from now. So, you know, maybe by then I will want to take a shot at Adam. And she does mention that, like, maybe we don't have to wait that long. But I think that he's okay with this, and I don't think he's going to out her. And I think that he's going to continue to try and play both sides here.
Yes. And she also mentions that there are a few people that wouldn't mind nominating Adam and Sam. So it kind of takes it off of both her and Dane that they wouldn't necessarily have to be the ones to pull the trigger, which I think makes it more palatable to him. But he still was like, yeah, the only way to get him out would be during a double, which is not even true. I feel like Adam would be quite, like, it seems like he's very fast, which is one of the key things in those double eviction vetoes. So I don't know that that's necessarily even the best time to take a shot. But everyone seems to be very much like, have to backdoor, have to do it in the double. People are so hesitant to just put someone up on the block.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, people always want to take out big targets in the double eviction, but it's like, it's not the physical people that need to go in the double eviction. It's the people that, if you gave them a week, would blow things up and expose your game and get people against you if they had a whole week to campaign. So you take them out during the double where they have no time. Those are the people you target during a double or a triple.
It's like in BB Can 3, getting Neha out in the instant is like a very key thing, because she literally had it flipped where she wouldn't have gone up overnight, but she was already up, right? It's like those are the people you need to target when it's a quick turnaround.
Yes. It's the people like sure, you got Kevin Martin out in one of the triples, but then when you target him in another triple, he manages to survive because he's like very good at competitions. So the competition people, you leave them for whenever, because
just get them when you can. Yeah. Basically. Yes. Like when they don't win, that's when you have to take the shot.
Yeah. All right. So is there anything else that you wanted to bring up here, Kirsten?
I think we've covered pretty much everything. I'm just excited to see where this goes, because it is so exciting in the early days.
Yes.
And the feeds have been actually up quite a bit. They haven't really gone down that much.
Yeah. You know, knock on wood. Not all of them have audio, but that's fine.
Oh my God. That's why? Just why? And it seems like they never intended for the quad cam to have audio. Like, is it too hard to get the left and right audio? Like,
it's so,
I don't know.
It's so but, so. It's just for people that maybe don't watch the feeds that much. Big Brother Canada has never had a quad cam. It's been very frustrating because quad cam is the best cam, and they finally this season introduced a quad cam, which is all four cameras on the same screen with audio from both feeds. And you know, it's even better on something like BB Viewer because you can pan the audio to either side, so on and so forth. You can mute one, listen to the other, and so it was like, oh, we got quad cam. And so you go, you start to watch the quad cam, there's no audio. And so I'm sure what happened is people started complaining. They're like, why is there no audio on the quad cam? And instead of fixing it and getting audio on the quad cam, they just put a little thing that says no audio.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm surprised they just did that instead of like a little sassy thing, because their little feeds outage things are so sassy. The other thing too is everything, like everything that was great about Big Brother Canada Online was because of Josh Grant working in the social media and like having all these ideas. But Josh does not work for Global anymore. So I feel like they're trying to kind of capture the lightning that was, you know, Josh's like little sassy, good marketing stuff. But they're not, it's just not the same. And it's very noticeably the same. But yeah, if people want quad cam, BB Viewer does have it set up with the pan audio and everything. And I don't think US people need a VPN to watch feeds on BB Viewer.
You don't need a VPN, no.
That's pretty cool.
BB Viewer, it's where it's at. But yeah, I was surprised that it didn't say no audio. Why don't you go complain about it on a podcast? Like that's how I feel they feel about
that's,
us.
That's the next step they have right now. Go on a Twitter rant.
Yeah.
And then now next it's going to be like, tell it to the kids at RHAP. It's like, can you please at me next time? Come on. And also they should want people tweeting about the show and want it trending. So go away. Cut that out.
All right, so that's what we had for you. Everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. We'll be live tonight after the episode where we will get the HOH competition and nominations, I imagine. And we will talk about everything that happens on the episode. So tune in for that. And then tomorrow morning, I will be live at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the live feeds. And then tomorrow night, we will have our first roundtable of the season. We'll kick off the stock watch and everything there. If I'm still not awake by tonight, I apologize in advance.
Maybe take a caffeine pill. That's maybe my advice for you. And maybe a nap.
You know, that would be nice. It would. We'll see.
I don't know. I'll be thinking of you. I hope you get through this.
Me too. you can find us on Twitter. Kirsten is at Kirsten Said What. I'm at Armstrong Taren. And yeah, see you next time.
Bye, guys.